Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, more jaw-dropping moments, but it wasn't enough for Memphis in a loss to the Sixers. So can this Philly team win the East? Big perks, big take, and do not trash talk Steph. He cooked another 40.
Why not?
But does he make Richard's lists of players that you should hold your breath against? Plus, it's a duel in the desert. How can Kyrie Irving and the Nets snap the Suns' 10-game winning streak? NBA Today starts right now.
What do you mean, why not?
Why not? Why not?
Welcome to NBA Today. I'm Malika Andrews, and I would say that it's only fitting that on the day that the GOAT officially retires, we have the greatest panel of all time, but Richard is here. But we also have Mr. Carry On himself, Kendrick Perkins, Richard Jefferson, JJ Redick, Zach Lowe, and Nick Friedell are all going to be stopping by the show in just a little bit. But guys, we have to start last night in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, because Ja Morant and the 76ers, they were facing Tyrese Maxey. No Joel Embiid for Philadelphia, but it really was no problem.
Woo! This Philadelphia team is, look, they're going to play hard no matter who's out there. And that's why when you add Joel Embiid, who is right now the MVP leader, that's why they're a problem. But this
early
was about
on,
Memphis.
Early on, it was all Memphis all the time. Ja Morant letting him know, Rev up the engine. Let's go ahead to the fourth quarter, though, when it really revved up, Richard.
Well, and this is the thing. Ja Morant has gotten smarter. He's done so many things for this team. His ability to take the contact. It's the guys that don't look like they're the strongest, but they have the ability to go in there.
It's
he's
the
going
finish.
Drumming right there for the finish.
He gets to the line, doesn't quite make it, though. Seth Curry collects, goes all the way to the other side, puts it up. But he can't quite get it to fall, so we're headed to overtime, tied at 111 all. So let's go. Doc Rivers upset with that. He thought that there should have been a call there in overtime. Less than a minute left. Tyrese Maxey bringing the ball up the court. He was so clutch with the 76ers all night. Lays it in there.
Yeah, Maxey's one of those guys that could be on that list for most improved this year.
But then Ja Morant goes to the hoop, kicks it out. Not quite, can't get it to fall.
It wasn't a foul?
Called as one. Ooh, and then, zipping back to the other end, Tyrese Maxey puts a bow on it. Joel Embiid, he's going nuts. Look at him back in the end. And then, after the win, he gets a chain. It's not quite a Joe Burrow chain, but you know. After the win, Embiid tweeted, "They hate the process, but we will keep thriving. Great dub, hell yeah." I mean, I want to see you guys run down the hall like that was impressive. We all know, though, that Christmas Day, it's a big day in the NBA calendar. That's when a lot of fans really start to lock in on the NBA. And the same can actually be said for Philadelphia, because since December 26th, the Sixers have the best record in the NBA and currently are only a half game back in the East. So, Richard, I want to start with you here. What's your confidence level that this version of the 76ers can win the East without Ben Simmons?
Zero. And I'm going to say zero, not because Joel Embiid is not, you know, an MVP, not because Maxey and Danny Green and Tobias Harris, that they don't. I love the pickup of Drummond, like, because now you can sit Joel Embiid if needed and he can go out there and still perform at a high level. It's because to win a championship, you need everything pushing in the same direction. They wouldn't be having all this conversation about Ben Simmons and what can we pick for him and we need a top 30 player, all of this, because they know they need that in order to win a championship. Those aren't my words. Those are their words. They need that.
But you said zero.
Come on.
1%. I apologize. You're right. 1%.
Not 1%. Not 1% of winning the East right now. The way that the Bucks look right now, Philly has an underrated squad. Okay,
they do, and
you know why they're not pressing to trade Ben Simmons? Because of the play of Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey was really supposed to be a lottery pick. Shout out to all the stupid GMs that passed up on him, by the way. Look, this kid is a flat out young star, not a superstar. Excuse me, young star. And then with the big Philly, he cannot be stopped. You look at the players that they have around them. If you could get a little bit out of the high-paid Tobias Harris, you have Danny Green, you have Seth Curry, you have Drummond who coming in as a backup, and you give them 1% chance of winning the East Listen, Richard, right now they are a half game back from being in the first spot without Ben Simmons. They was number one with Ben Simmons, which means they still could be number one. I love the way this team is constructed right now.
I love it.
But not 1%, bro. You could have said 25%.
25%, what does it matter? 25%, I don't think without getting something for Ben Simmons or without Ben Simmons playing, unless there's an injury to a player, unless there's a rolled ankle by Kyrie, unless there's something along those lines, they don't have enough to go through Milwaukee, then go through whoever's on the other side of it, bro.
By the way, this wasn't planned for me and you and everybody to be dressed in blue. I would have woke up.
I don't know how that conversation changed.
I just noticed that's where it went. Speaking of that,
well, then we'll get some different color into the conversation. I want to bring in senior writer Zach Lowe because Philadelphia, they have enough, do you think, without Ben Simmons to win the East?
Look, I know Milwaukee is scuffling.
He's left speechless.
Can he speak?
Yeah, he's left speechless because he's believing in everything that I am saying.
Can he speak? Go ahead, Zach.
My God.
Can I talk? Am I allowed to talk?
Yes.
I know Milwaukee is scuffling. I just think they're in cruise control. I know the Nets are netsing around. They're just a soap opera. I know the Heat and the Bulls are both banged up right now. But look, I think at go time, at least two of those teams are going to be fully healthy and ready to go. And I think Milwaukee, Brooklyn, depending on the Kyrie thing, and maybe even separate from that, in Miami, I'm taking all them in the playoffs over Philadelphia. So I'm putting their ceiling at conference finals. I don't think they can make the finals. I think despite the fact that Perk is absolutely right, Maxey has changed the game for them, I still think they're one guy short of those teams.
Yeah, Maxey really has. I remember speaking to Doc Rivers earlier this season, and he said, you know, the road trip that they had when they had all of those players out, when Joel wasn't playing, when Danny Green wasn't playing, when they had all these injuries piling up, he said that that was really a growth period for Tyrese Maxey. He watched Tyrese really take hard the 76ers' loss to the Hawks last year. He felt like he could have done more, and we're seeing that come to fruition now. But speaking of Ben Simmons, I do want to encourage all of you to go to ESPN.com and read Ramona Shelburne's fascinating story on the fractured relationship between the Sixers and Ben Simmons. There are so many interesting details in there that you are not going to want to miss. But on the other side, we got to go to G12 because, as mentioned earlier in the show, Ja Morant finished with 37 points in the loss, 28 in the paint. So listen to this. Ja is now averaging 16 points in the paint per game this season. That leads the NBA. And take a look at the top five. All other players are dominant bigs. Bigs. They stand at least 6'10", and Ja is listed as 6'3", but I've stood next to him, so he may even be a little bit shorter than that. With that, though, I do think it's time. Can we lower the lights just a little bit? Well,
turn them off.
We got to head to the dark side.
Turn them off.
What are we doing?
Turn them off. What? Look, listen, I know the Memphis Grizzlies lost last night. Ja had 9 turnovers. That's uncharacteristic of him. But still, I got to break down his game and why he is leading the NBA in points in the paint at the guard position. Look, right here. He see Andre Drummond's slow feet. Seth Curry is on the strong side, can't help. Right here, great screen by Steven Adams. Drummond too far back. Guess what Ja's going to do? I'm going to split you, big fella. Now I'm going to show you the layup package, Kyrie Irving style. Game is on the line. One of the best defenders in the league. Nope, too slow. I'm going to give you a little in and out. Now Drummond, you comes to help. You too small. And one. Athleticism with IQ, with ball handling, is the combination of Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving, and Rajon Rondo for the passing, although I didn't show that. Carry on.
I have a thought, though, Big Perk.
What?
I feel like you and JJ have disagreed on this before.
That's his fault for disagreeing. Yeah, bring him in. Where he at? He's somewhere around here?
He's here.
Yeah, bring him up.
I see you on the train. I see you in the back. I see JJ in the back there. You're the conductor.
Yeah, he has room. I'm leaving one of the doors open for him to get on the train. right now.
Okay, well, we can't let you go at him and not bring him into the conversation.
Hey,
so,
JJ.
I mean, they left the door open. He left the door open on the express, JJ. Perk just broke it all down that John Morant, he thinks this is all the good stuff that's going on with him. But where do you want to see improvement from him?
I don't know why you have to create this rift, Perk. You act like I'm a John Morant hater. I'm not a hater. I think he's awesome.
I didn't produce the show. I'm just doing what I was told. Come on, what you doing?
Look, the big question mark is, can Ja make threes? He's at 35% this year. I like to think about how Utah played him last year in the playoffs. There was a lot of going over the screen, Rudy Gobert and a big drop. That allows Ja to get to his strengths. What happens in the playoffs if teams give him a steady diet of going underneath the screen? We saw it in crunch time last night, down one. The clip is not running for some reason. The producers are not showing me the clip.
There we go.
We got Maxi on the ball. Drummond's in a drop. Maxi goes under. Ja Morant misses the three. He was 0 for 5 last night. What a lot of teams play, they go over with the guy on the ball. Drummond obviously in a drop. This plays to Ja's strengths. This is his game. Mid-range floaters. And in this second clip, Thibault tries to get to an ice. He doesn't. There's an opportunity to go under right there. He goes over, downhill, Drummond too far back, he's at the rim. That coverage plays into Ja's strengths. I would love teams to start going under more, and let's see if he can knock down 4 or 5 threes in the game.
Yeah, but JJ, they can't go under. You know why? Because the Grizzlies know that teams are trying to go under, and you have one of the best screen setters in the league, and Steven Adams, that was taught by yours truly, to learn how to set picks. See, you got to understand, Steven Adams played with Russell Westbrook. So he used to guys trying to go under screens. Those angles are important.
Perk, I totally agree with you, but look at where those screens were being set. They were above the three-point line. I'm not saying eventually if we get the screen down near the elbow, you're not going to go over top of that, but why go under that first screen?
Why not force the ice? Are you getting on the train? Are you getting your ticket and getting on the train or not?
I've been on the train. Okay. I don't know. You're creating this. I've been on the John Morant train.
I didn't produce the show, JJ. I'm just asking you a question.
I feel like I need to separate you two.
He's lucky you're in New York.
Park.
He's going on the train. All right, we're gonna.
I want to say one thing to RJ
real quick.
I just want to tell him trust the process. That's all. Trust the process.
You should have trusted the process when you was in Philly.
Well, it seems like he's trusting the Grizzlies process right now. Coming up on NBA Today. Not that he needs any extra motivation, but the Rockets gave him a little extra something last night. How Houston fueled Steph's 40-piece and. Is it possible that the key to the Suns' winning streak goes back to the Jurassic Age? Zach Lowe on the Rising Suns, plus one of the breakout stars from this year's breakout team joins the show, Jaren Jackson Jr. on the key to the Grizzlies' success.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
NBA Today is brought to you by Disney Cruise Line, where magic meets the sea.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Steph Curry was sizzling last night in Houston, so let's take a look at the highlights. Steph Curry and the Warriors, they were visiting the Rockets, and we're going to pick it up in the third quarter. But keep an eye on Curry and Kevin Porter Jr. because Curry, he's trying to get to a spot. Porter Jr. being a little bit physical with him there. He gets called for the foul, stares down Curry afterwards. And then under a minute to go, Golden State up. Oh, two going at it again. Curry forces Porter Jr. into a turnover and walks into a three. Curry talked about the back and forth with Porter Jr. after the game.
He didn't take it to trouble.
I think it was a couple like off-ball fouls, and I won't say there was a little chirping, but it was good gamesmanship. And then we got a steal. I think I got a good defensive stop. We got a steal, and I came down in transition. That kind of lit the fire for the rest of the game.
It absolutely lit the fire for the rest of the game, Richard.
And let me tell you, I did this game, and it was funny because it was really the fourth quarter. The Houston Rockets did a good job of staying in this game. You saw the little back and forth between him and Porter. But once Steph gets going, we've all seen that look. And he had been quiet. Sometimes you want to let people sleep. But they woke him up, and when he woke up, he was like, oh, this feels good. He was searching. He was winking to the crowd. He was chirping a little bit back and forth. Steph was doing Steph things.
And he had 40. Here's him after the game.
What are you thinking when an opponent starts trash talking Steph the way that Kevin Porter started tonight?
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't notice that at all. But I highly encourage it.
I respect guys who say things with their chest. And Kevin Porter seems like one of those guys. You just got to know what you're stepping into. You got to know once you cross that line what Steph is going to do. And Steph did, you know, what do they say? Steph is Stephen. What do y'all say? Yeah, Steph going Steph.
Juan Toscano said it. Steph's going to Steph. He had 21 of his 40 points in the fourth quarter that was leading the Warriors to their sixth straight win. And Richard, you called the game last night. You saw this back and forth. It looks a little something like the back and forth that's going on over there. But who is on your list of players, like Steph Curry, that you don't want to poke him and wake him?
Well, look, my thing is this. Like, Perk is like, oh, you could talk. Yeah, you can talk trash to whoever you want. Steph is number three in my book because you know what? Let Steph just do Steph. Steph doesn't speak unless spoken to. And he'll still go for 40 or 50. But here's my next. Give me my number two. Again, another guy that doesn't speak unless spoken to. This man may be leading candidate, maybe for MVP. Maybe he's a leading scorer in the league. Maybe he's won everything in the world. You just let him be. You play good defense, you show him a little bit of respect, and then you just go about your business. But number one is this monster right here. Because ultimately, there has never been a defense created to stop any of these three, but this one physically, what he can do to your team on both ends of the floor, blocking shots, dunking. But the one thing and why you don't talk trash to these three is because they don't speak unless spoken to, and they will still try and destroy you. So now you're going to give them motivation in the middle of January? No, these guys are going to show up playoff ready in the fourth quarter.
Well, we all grown men, and I totally disagree with this, but since I was forced to make a list, I'm going to give you mine. You should be able to talk trash. In between those lines, it's a war. If you get torched, so what? At number three, I'm going with Kevin Durant. I'm going with Kevin Durant. We already know a walking bucket. He do sometimes talk noise, by the way, Richard. I played with him. At number two, pull it up. I'm going with Steph Curry because he could just light it up from anywhere. Whether you talking trash to him or not, don't poke the bear. But number one, Joel Embiid. You know why? Because he talked noise and he backed it up and he actually embraced that. That's what I love about him. And then after the game, if he's talking noise with an opponent, guess what? He walks over there and gives them props if they shut him down or lock him up or hold him to, you know, an off night.
You have some questions.
I want to know who's the bigger trash talker out of you two on the court.
I only trash talk my teammates. I don't speak to other teams. Like, I don't speak unless spoken to.
I'm raised from a different breed. It didn't matter.
Hey, I'm not judging it. I'm just curious. JJ, were you a big trash talker? Do you have a list for me?
I do have a list for you. Some people think I'm a big trash talker. I'm somewhere in the middle of those two guys. Number three for me is Luka Doncic. Witnessed him last year in the first round against the Clippers. There was a lot of noise being said during that series. That gets him going. Joel Embiid at number two. Joel is the ultimate heel. He's playing a part. Why would you buy into that and get him going even more? Both those guys I've witnessed having average nights for them. Somebody says something to them, all of a sudden you look up in the fourth quarter and they've got 38 and 15. Number one for me is Steph Curry. Like all great players, they have to manufacture slights and injustices to get themselves going. This is what makes them great. Steph Curry checks his Twitter account at halftime to look for comments that get him going. Why would you talk trash to him? I don't understand that. He's a ticking time bomb, ready to explode at any time. And we've seen it time and time again. Why would you try to get that guy going?
So this is a different perk. I understand. You play with KG. Like, these are your guys. I respect that. I'm not disrespecting what he is saying. What I am saying is, at the end of the day, your goal is to win every game. This is not a question of whether or not you're a man, somebody else's man.
Goal.
Your goal, but I'm
the
just saying,
goal
in
is
general,
to play
we weren't all those three players weren't playing against the Rockets. My point is this, is that when your job is to step on the court and win the game, some players you can get into their head mentally.
Yep.
Some players, when you try and talk to them, it works against you. Those three players, it works against you. You can talk to them, but you see what happens. So all our idea is not to let them disrespect you, not saying you less of a man, but like, if my goal is to win the game, I'm going to let him do what he does, and I'm going
to
go do what I do.
You saying that you're not going to talk trash to them, to me, I take that as something.
Oh, yeah, look, I've dunked on KD and winked at him before, but I'm not going to just talk trash to him.
Yeah, because you're friendly.
That's
not true, Perk. That's
Thank
not
you.
True.
It is true. It is true. I said, look, I'm telling you this.
We all can go out and compete without trash talking. We can go compete and trash talk. It's not about being friendly with somebody.
It's a little bit more fun when you
This is why so many old school people always stop. This is why so many old school players always say, oh, our game is so soft, our game is so friendly. Because back in the day, we used to see people trash talking Larry Bird and Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson. Like, we saw those type of things.
Yeah.
Now,
19,
it's all
and
brother.
What happened?
Brother.
19 championship, what happened?
Let's jersey swap.
Yeah, what happened?
Here go my jersey, let me get yours. Get out of here, man. That's friendly.
Well, the Warriors, they're going to be back in action tonight, but they have listed out 8 players of tonight's game. Take a look at all of them against the Spurs. It is the second night of a back-to-back, but no Steph Curry, no Klay Thompson, Draymond, Andre Iguodala, Andrew Wiggins, Nemanja Bjelica, Otto Porter Jr., James Wiseman, all out tonight. But we will still check in on Golden State, because coming up on NBA Today, Nick Friedell gives us an update on Kevin Durant and James Harden ahead of their matchup against the Red Hot Suns tonight. And Grizzlies star Jaren Jackson Jr., he's also going to join the show. He's had a front row seat to some spectacular Ja Morant plays this season, so we ask him what his favorite part of Ja's game has been. Plus, what does Breonna Stewart's Supermax deal mean for the rest of WNBA free agency? LaChyna Holly and Carolyn break it down for us. Keep it locked.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
11 titles in 13 seasons. No single player in NBA history owns more championship rings than Bill Russell, the 6'10" rim-protecting big man of the legendary Boston Celtics dynasty. In 1966, he became the first African-American head coach of any American pro sports team, while both playing and coaching in his final three seasons with the Celtics. Russell's experiences with racism also fueled a propensity for social activism, uplifting his legacy as both the ultimate winner and humanitarian.
Welcome back to NBA Today. We will be celebrating Black History Month all February long on this show, but as the month starts, it's more of the same for the Suns, who are riding a league-best 10-game winning streak. So Phoenix, they lead the NBA in net rating during their winning streak, outscoring opponents by just over 11 points per 100 possessions. And they're the only team in the NBA with multiple winning streaks of at least 10 games this season. And Chris Paul, he is having another stellar year. He's leading the NBA in assists at 10.3 per game. And he's picked up his scoring recently, too. CP3 has scored at least 20 in 4 straight games. That's his longest win streak since 2017. And at the time, he was with the Rockets. And then his backcourt mate, Devin Booker, has also been on an absolute scoring tear. It has been so much fun to watch him play. He's averaging over 30 points per game since the Suns streak started back on January 11th. And that game, it was against the Raptors. And it was also known as a game where he got into it with their mascot. And this is what Zach Lowe said on this show after the incident that was heard around the world.
I'm a little worried that Devin Booker has unleashed forces that he does not understand. The Raptor is by himself in an empty arena, the saddest mascot in all of pro sports during a pandemic, and you shoo him away to the corner. Look, I'm telling you right now, Devin Booker, the mascot community is tight-knit. You do not want to alienate them. Devin Booker, you unleash forces, man. You don't even know what's going on. Oh my Lord.
And Zach Lowe joins me now. So Zach, I am curious, how much credit are you taking for the Suns' winning streak?
None. Not surprisingly, Devin Booker may be one step ahead of me. Maybe he wanted the mascots to band against him. Maybe he needed a little extra motivation because he was getting bored by winning every game so easily. So hats off to Devin Booker. You created 30 enemies or 27 enemies, but you did it for a reason. You're playing chess. I was just playing checkers.
Got enemies. Got a lot of enemies. All right. So it wasn't the rant, but what do you attribute their success to?
A whole lot of nothing, because the Suns were awesome before the streak. They're awesome now. They are just awesome. They're the most consistent team in the NBA. They just keep coming at you. It's not sexy all the time, but they have no weaknesses, and they just keep coming and coming and coming until it's crunch time, and then they unleash hell on you in crunch time. But the most impressive thing is really they've done it without DeAndre Ayton and Jay Crowder, two starters. Campaign, their backup point guard's getting been hurt. It doesn't matter. Chris Paul and Devin Booker have reached another level. They make Bismack Biyombo look like Shaq almost in the starting center, and they just keep on coming at you. They don't beat themselves. They don't make mistakes. Other than the occasional bad rebounding game, they have zero weaknesses, and they are 40-9. We talk about all these other teams, their ups and downs, this and that. The Suns just keep on winning at a ridiculous pace.
They've been incredible to watch. They certainly seem to still be the team to beat in the West. I expect Chris Paul and Devin Booker both to get into the All-Star game, but they are in action tonight. So now to the team that the Suns are facing tonight, the Brooklyn Nets. They're on a four-game losing streak, and Kyrie Irving is averaging just over 24 points. But the Nets, they're just 6-8 overall since he started playing part-time, and 4-4 when he suits up. So for more on Brooklyn, I'm now joined by our Nets reporter, Nick Friedel. Nick, the biggest question going into the game is the status of James Harden. He's missed the last two games with a right hamstring strain. I'm so used to saying hamstring. What's the latest on Harden?
Malika, Steve Nash is hopeful that he will play, and that's a great sign for the Nets. He went through all his shoot around this morning. He went through all of Monday's practice. He was taking all the shots that he usually does. So the Nets believe that he'll be out there, and they badly need him offensively. But the key with this team is they've been giving up 119 points a game during this losing streak. So they need Harden to set the tone offensively to set up what they need to do on the defensive end.
Absolutely. The Nets, they have lost four straight. The Suns, though, they have won 10 straight. So we're going to see if it's which streak gets snapped tonight. Thank you so much, Nick Friedel. I'm sure we'll be seeing you throughout the day on SportsCenter. Have fun at the game tonight. So coming up on NBA Today, including the top of the top from January. So you know that segment is going to be a must-see, since the plays you see here, they didn't even make the cut. Keep it locked on NBA Today.
I was just asking.
No. Welcome back to NBA Today. It's February 1st and officially the start of WNBA free agency, so we've got a special show breaking down all the moves, the drama, the intrigue of WNBA free agency today on ESPN2 at 5 o'clock Eastern. So ahead of the special, let's get to some W free agency news that's currently out there. And we're going to start with Breonna Stewart. The two-time finals MVP is headed back to the Seattle Storm on a one-year Supermax deal, the team that drafted her number one overall in 2016. And also, it was reported earlier today that the reigning MVP, Jonquel Jones, has signed a core qualifying offer to return to the Connecticut Sun on a two-year deal. She led the Suns to a league best 26-6 record last season. And then the Aces, they head into free agency with some decisions to make after hiring Becky Hammon to be their head coach. And Liz Cambage is an unrestricted free agent, and 2020 MVP Asia Wilson is a restricted free agent. But take a look at what Liz Cambage tweeted earlier. Ah, yes, the WNBA, where a head coach can get paid four times the highest paid player Supermax contract. And y'all think I'm going to spend another season upgrading my seat on a flight to get to games out of my own pocket. Whew, all right. So for more on this tweet and all things WNBA free agency, LaChyna Robinson joins us in studio. Hey, LaChyna.
Hey, Malika, thank you so much. Well, what a way to start out, and a lot to talk about. Today is free agency day in the WNBA. LaChyna, Holly Rowe with us, also Carolyn Peck. I mean, and that's where we start with Liz Cambage and those comments, Carolyn. When you hear that, when you read that, what comes to mind for you?
The biggest thing that I really recognize from that is that Mark Davis invested in a woman coach. Paying Becky Hammon $1 million is demonstrating where the WNBA needs to be in going after and getting quality coaches.
Becky Hammon spent 15 years in the WNBA as an undrafted player, made her way, became one of the greatest of all time. Becky Hammon earned every penny she's about to get paid because of her lifetime work in the WNBA, and players like Liz Cambage got paid more because of some of the work Becky Hammon did. So let's celebrate a woman getting a $1 million contract in the league instead of women tearing each other down.
Preach!
Definitely don't want to lose the headline as far as Becky Hammon, but I do understand Liz Cambage's point of the coaches getting paid more than the players. Something there has to change. All right, so the other thing that Malika just mentioned, Jonquel Jones re-signing with the Connecticut Sun. Holly, I'll start with you. When you think about Jonquel's career, and even being in Connecticut, a place that maybe 10 years ago weren't getting a lot of free agent signing or free agents coming there. What is it that she needs to accomplish this year to cement herself and her legacy?
I think that she's the best player in the world right now, according to her coach, Kurt Miller. She was the MVP this season. Let's give her her shine. She deserves everything that she's getting as well. And Jonquel Jones, all she needs to do is keep winning more in the playoffs. She was a game away from the WNBA Finals 3 years ago. I expect her to be at that next level. I can't wait to see her win it all one day.
Holly, you're the best. You had it right. She is the best player in the world and leading her team in rebounding, in points. She's shooting over 50%. She's 6'5". She can dunk. She can do everything. She can handle the basketball like a guard, get it done inside.
And what I love about the way this Connecticut team has come together, not only does Kurt Miller do a fantastic job, but Alyssa Thomas, her toughness. Like, this is a gritty team defensively. Jasmine Thomas, even their bench has bought in Tisha Heideman. They're going to need everyone to step up, especially because sources are saying that Rheon January will not be returning to Connecticut.
But guess who they might get? We are hearing that Courtney Williams will sign with the Connecticut Sun. She was on that team that was a game away from the WNBA Finals. Add a little sass to Connecticut. Jonquel, Courtney, I'm all in.
Well, they say never go back to your ex, so I don't know. We'll have to talk about that. So in other news, Breanna Stewart did return to the Seattle Storm, but surprisingly on a one-year deal. What do you make of that, Carolyn?
Well, I think that because there's talk of that they have cored Jewel Lloyd to 2 years, so they can't, so they couldn't accord, and so she only has a one-year deal. And I think, too, you know, Stewie's from New York, so why would she lock herself in after next season, play one more year with Sue Bird, and then shop around, maybe get back closer to home?
Well, she did meet with New York. She met with all of the top executives, the entire leadership team of the New York Liberty, and by signing this one-year deal, I think it says two things about Breanna Stewart. Number one, get you a friend like that, because she's coming back in many ways to honor Sue Bird, to open that new building in Seattle. And I also think that there's some bigger conversation about the collective bargaining agreement and some new rules that will come into play in 2024. We'll get into that more on our show, but Breanna Stewart, some really smart moves right now, leaving her future open.
We will get into that and so much more. So catch us on the WNBA Free Agency Special. That is at 5 Eastern Time on ESPN2. Malika, back to you.
LaChyna, Holly, Carolyn, thank you so much. But we are not done yet on NBA Today, because coming up, Grizzly star Jaren Jackson Jr. joins the show. Find out what he thinks of the nickname The Dark Side.
He doesn't think the right thing.
I don't fear nobody, dog. He's 7'7 or whatever. I'm coming straight at you.
I like when the pressure's on me. I got all the confidence in the world in my game.
The Grizzlies lost last night, but John Morant had another spectacular night with 37 points, and it was his seventh straight 30-point game. That's the longest streak in Grizzlies franchise history. And Memphis is currently the third seed in the West, only behind the Suns and the Warriors, and they're getting all the hustle stats, leading the league in rebounds, steals, blocks. But that's not just John Morant. There are other players, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, and Jaren Jackson Jr. They're all having great seasons. And speaking of, we are now joined by the aforementioned Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren, Memphis has been the breakout team in the NBA this season, and going into the year, there was a lot of talk about the Lakers and the Suns and maybe the Warriors and just about every other team in the West except the Memphis Grizzlies. How do the players in the locker room take on that sort of underdog mentality?
I mean, ironically, we all have it in our own way, so it's kind of weird that we all play together because we feel like we're underdogs in, you know, other parts of our lives, how we were brought up, how we got to this point. And you just keep that mentality. It's more fun to play like that than play like, you know, people expect you to do something. It just more hunger, just, I don't know, a better vibe.
Well, then you get to surprise a couple of people too, right? And maybe a little bit of I told you so. But you specifically play with that grit and grime attitude that we all love to see, but you improved in just about every statistical category. What do you attribute your success to this season?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Playing, I mean, I get to play now. I only played like however many games last year because I was trying to come back from injury, and then thank God we make the playoffs, so I was able to play for something special there. But I mean, you know, I'm playing now. I got rhythm. I had a training camp. I'm around my dogs. I mean, they're just... we're in a real good rhythm right now. I think attributed to the fun and the joy we're playing with. I really can't say much else. This is a special time for a special group. I just feel comfortable. I feel good out there.
It really oozes off watching you guys play. You can feel it through the screen. You can feel it emanating up into the stands. You guys enjoy playing together. I can't have you on the show and not ask about John Morant, a.k.a. G12. That's what we call him around here. And we've shown all of the highlight reel plays on this show. But what stands out about his game the most to you?
I mean, he's super smart. Everybody likes the dunks and, oh, there's one. Everybody likes the dunks. Everybody likes all that stuff. But I mean, he's just so smart. He knows how to manipulate the defense. Definitely even better than last year. Last year, he was doing it really well. But now, I mean, ball fakes, just how he can see plays ahead, how he's finding guys, eyes in the back of his head, his passing ability. He's doing it all right now. So I'm glad everybody's just taking the time to appreciate it. Like, it's just a special moment for him. Like, he's just playing the best in his career, and sky's the limit, man. Like, it's great to see, and I get the best seat, so no one gets better seats than me to watch that.
Be honest, in practice, do you ever see him just practicing some of those dunks and you're like, oh yeah, he's gonna break out something special in a game now?
Nah, he don't like the dunk. He don't like the dunk. That's the case with leapers though. They don't like to do it. That's just how it is.
It's
like,
just the magic.
He'll do like one. Yeah, he'll do like one every once in a while, and we'll be like, oh. But he really likes saving for the game, and then we're hyped then. But if he does something weak in the game, we just boo him. So he knows how it is.
Well, then
we just quick little boo, and then we get back to it.
You guys have set the standards high. I know Zach Lowe and Richard Jefferson would like to ask you a question, so I'm going to bring them in, and I'm sorry about it, but let's start with Richard.
Oh, well, thank you, Malika. What an intro. No, my question is this. When you look at Golden State, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Phoenix, these teams all look at this season that if they don't finish with the championship, then the season was a disappointment. Now that you guys are being considered in that group, John Morant is an MVP candidate, will you go as far to say is that if you guys, with the way that you're playing, if you don't win a championship this year, will this season be a disappointment?
It'll be disappointing for sure. We'll look back and probably take away things that we could have done better and then feel good about that. But I mean, when you got that feel, when you got that stride, and you know, you can taste success a little bit, it's going to be disappointing if you don't do the most you can with it. So I think, you know, you're going to feel a little bit, we're competitors, but at the end of the day, like, building off anything is important. So that's what we've been doing before this. That's what we're going to continue to do. And that's what we're going to look at.
Jaren, after last season, the question that dopes like me had was, how big of a level can Jaren Jackson Jr. reach defensively? Can he defend fours? Can he defend fives? Does he need to switch? Should he drop back? That was like the big uncertainty. Flash forward like 5 months, you're in the all-defense conversation. You're almost leading the league in block shots. What happened? Did you always know you had this in you? Was there a particular coach you worked with? Is it just a matter of staying healthy? Because this leap on defense has changed the entire Memphis Grizzlies team.
Yeah, I like to switch on defense. It helps, you know, keep the ball in front of you. I think just with the way I move my feet and, you know, if I can just get enough games, get loose enough just to be in a stance, like I'm 7 feet tall. Like it's not as easy. Like I'm telling you, you got to get low. You got to be in a stance. You got the best guards in the world come full speed and you got to just be able to recognize what you got to do. But I mean, block timing just comes from doing it all my life and I don't know, just being in the right place. If you just stay engaged, you'll be surprised what you can come up with if you just stay engaged and just keep talking out there. And I mean, team defense is huge. I think that's what's really helping us collectively. Like, we're able to rotate to the right spots, and which puts me in the right position to get blocks and do a bunch of that stuff. So, I mean, that's what wins championships. You know that. You know that, Rich.
Yeah.
So.
I've got one more for you before we let you go. Kendrick Perkins, he's nicknamed you all the Dark Side. It's become a thing on our show. What do you think of that nickname?
You don't have to accept it. It's Perk. You don't have to accept it. Just let's...
I think, okay, so like the whole, you know, we like to run, talk trash, you know, yell at you, all that stuff. I mean, it's just how we play. Like, it's weird. It's still ironic that we're all on the same team because it's kind of a thing we all like to do. Like, it's just what comes out when we're competing. And we do it to each other in practice. So, like, of course we're going to do it in the game. You know, we're going to do it to the opposing team. Dark Side, I mean... Welcome to the dark.
Nah, it's so, trash. Just it's trash. You know, just it's okay.
I mean, you gotta it ask, sounds like they've embraced
ask 12,
it.
You gotta ask twelve. I think that'll be the deciding factor. You can ask 12, get him on here, you know. Say Perk said it too. I want to see his face.
All right, absolutely. We will. He's joined us before and I'm sure he will join us again. And Jaren, please come back. This was so much fun. Best of luck the rest of the season.
For sure. You guys are doing great. This is prime time. My grandma gets to see this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, hello to your grandma. Thank you, Jaren.
For sure. Thank you, guys.
I asked John Morant, and he texted me that he approved. You can see Jaren Jackson Jr. and the Grizzlies on the dark side in the first game of our Wednesday doubleheader when they take on the Knicks at 7:30 Eastern, followed by the Jazz and the Nuggets. NBA Today will be back in 60 seconds.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is official. Tom Brady is retiring from football. And since we're talking about the greatest football players, flashes of LeBron, some of the greatest basketball players, it's only natural that we're taking you to some of the greatest plays in the month of January. So let's take it to the top of the top. I get the point. What
oh
is
God,
that?
Let's start with
top posters. And we're starting on January
3rd.
Oh, what is that?
Somebody get that little French baby out the street.
Yeah.
Come on now.
What's the name for Similac?
What's the name for Similac?
French.
What is with you?
I don't know.
Bottle of name, but we got to do this.
Oh.
When Klay Thompson returned, he said after towards it, that's when he knew he was really back. He thought Doug's game would be the last thing that came back in his game. First game out. He had to do that to the Cavs.
Hey, look, if you dunking on that Cavs defense, you're doing something right. I see you, big fella.
Absolutely. All right, we have top game winners in the month of January. So let's start on the first day of the year because DeMar DeRozan was just incredible. Y'all didn't look at this?
Woo! MVP candidate, Perk.
Don't start.
I was asking a question.
Not now.
Not now?
Like, can he hit the shot?
So it's every five games?
No, I told you it's every month.
Oh, okay.
Well, take a look at this game when RJ Barrett.
That's it. Because you know why? The Celtics were up 24 at one point in the third quarter and blew this game. RJ Barrett sent them on. I love it.
Why do you laugh?
Nothing like hitting this shot in the garden.
They have turned it around. They turned it around.
Okay.
Absolutely. There's nothing like hitting this shot in the garden. You see the fans go nuts. But then there's this, because Steph Curry, he, up until this point in his career, he had never had a true buzzer beater with 0-0-0 on the clock.
Porter didn't learn
that.
Porter didn't learn.
Give him that. He got enough already.
Porter didn't learn.
Somebody else.
He already has everything.
That was Porter again.
That
was Porter again. Hey, Porter, I love the fire, though. Don't make no mistake. I love the fire.
All right, let's go to the top moment, because we could not show you top plays in the month and not acknowledge what the Clippers did on January 20th. They trailed by 30 points at halftime. Second largest deficit overcome in NBA history.
And guess what? The Wizards haven't been the same since.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't talk about the Clippers. This is more about the Wizards, ain't this?
But the Clippers been balling though since then, right?
Yeah.
But the Wizards, they've been balling.
Not to mention, no Kawhi Leonard, no Paul George.
Shout out to Steve Lou.
They did it. All right, top locks.
This is easy.
January 24th. All right.
Ooh, that's on it, too.
That's one of the most impressive blocks that you will ever see. Not only did he cup it, he also saved it.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is absolute focus, something Perk don't know nothing about.
That was an absolute stuff. And then, take it away, Big Perk.
I wish I could kick my feet up right now.
I mean, you could try, but...
I'm just saying, like, he turned the ball over. He should have really blocked that with his elbow.
I'm not even sure. Did we decide, again, is this a block? Is it a steal? Is it a... It needs a whole new
because it was
category.
A shot attempt, it was a block.
I don't feel that strongly about that. I think it was...
I'm making good.
Like, you are full of
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. All right. NBA Today, we will see you tomorrow. Coming
up
next on ESPN.
Dan Orlovsky, I see you, boy.
Not my rant.
I'm
going to hold it all.
Down.
Not my rant.